All right, well, I'm going to kick off this very first meeting of the Immigration Advisory Board and thank everybody who's agreed to participate and who put your names forward in the first application process for appointment of this most recently created board in the city of Bellingham. I'm going to assume that we're all on. I don't know. We've got some staff joining us tonight, as you know, per the ordinance. There's staff assistance from both the council office and the mayor's office. Joining us tonight are Janice Keller, the communications director, Monet Kerr, the city council administrative assistant, Matt Bazanson from our IT department, who's going to be helping us with making sure that all technical support is here. Also, Deputy Administrator Brian Heinrich is joining us, along with Police Chief David Dahl. And I understand also on the call this evening is our City Attorney, Peter Raffato. So thank you, staff, for participating. I am racing off here in a little bit because I've been asked to speak to the Whatcom Women in Business. Tonight's their, what would have been their gala event, and I have been asked to speak at it. So I'm just going to give happy introductions and then get off. I have been asked to just go through at the very beginning before we go further, just read some brief instructions relating to the technology and the format. And so I just want to thank you all for your patience as it relates to that. Please let us know, reach out. For those of you that are familiar with chat, if you have any questions about technology, and you can, after I hand it off to Hannah Stone, City Councilwoman Hannah Stone, she can take it from there. And I understand on your agenda initially will be appointing a chairperson, and that individual as well can call on people and or use chat, I believe. But if there's any issues, let us know, make it known. If you become disconnected, please try signing back in, kind of like rebooting. It's the first thing we propose people do if there's some sort of an issue. We ask that you keep your microphone muted unless you are speaking. This meeting is open to the public. Instructions for members of the public signing into Zoom are on page 2 of the agenda. And as I think I indicated, we are recording this meeting for note-taking purposes. Hannah Stone invited Lummi Elder William L. John, who graciously accepted the offer to welcome all of you tonight. A few minutes ago, he was not on the call, but he might be now. So I'll, William John, are you with us?
I don't see him on the list yet. He had reached out this afternoon when I'd sent out a reminder about this advisory board having its first meeting, and he'd reached out just as a First Nations elder in our community, saying how important he felt it was for immigrants to feel welcome in our community. And so I will keep an eye on the attendee list, and if he's able to join us, then we'll certainly give him that space.
Okay, that's great. Well then, at this time, I just want to again convey my gratitude for all of you serving in this important work. I know there's going to be a lot of good and effective, important conversations that you're all going to be having. And I know that you're all going to take this role very seriously. So I just want to convey my thanks as Mayor of Bellingham for your service on this board. Hannah, I think I'm going to hand it over to you, and you can at least participate in the initial work of going through the agenda. I suppose you all get to decide until such time that a chairperson is selected. So I'll hand it over to you, Hannah Stone.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor Fleetwood. So just in a brief introduction. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Hannah Stone, and I am a city council member currently serving as the Ward 1 representative. And in addition, in my day job, I'm an immigration attorney here in Bellingham. And so during my first year on the council, when I was appointed in the first at-large position, one of the things that came to fruition was the creation of this immigration advisory board. And so I just want to first just welcome everybody and thank you very much. I know that time is valuable and short a lot of times, and so your commitment to be a part of this board is greatly appreciated. And I also just want to convey the fact that this is not a little box on my list of things to do as a city council member where I want to check it off and move on. Really what I was hoping through this immigration advisory board is really being able to create a safe space for members of the immigrant community, as well as, you know, perhaps their advocates and allies, to be able to bring issues forward to the city, again, in a safe space. And so I don't feel like I'm in a in the appropriate place to define sort of what that space would be like. And so being dependent upon all of you as well to please reach out to myself or anybody else, you know, who's connected with this committee for guidance, that we're here to listen as well and to grow and change in a way to make sure that this is a comfortable space, and that's really critical to me, just because I want to make sure that this is a space where we can have at times what may be difficult conversations. I hope it's not always that way, but I want to make sure that it's a place where people feel comfortable bringing their ideas and thoughts or criticisms or concerns forward. And so I think that's, I want to say initially, but with respect to the agenda this evening, we wanted to make sure, you know, obviously this is the first time we're meeting. It's not ideal because we're not in person and not able to see everybody here, but wanting to go around and do introductions initially so that everybody knows who everybody else is. We can put sort of names and faces together. And I wanted to do that before we appoint a chair or vice chair, so I guess I'll stand in as going through the agenda until we take that vote. And with respect to the introductions, I don't know if there, and I'll depend on Janice to keep me in line if I go awry of the agenda, and I'll try and watch the clock. But with respect, yeah.
Sorry to jump in. Do you have a list in front of you with the composed names of the group?
Well, I was going to go through the list of panelists, because then we know who's on the call today. I don't know if there was a particular order that you'd wanted to go through.
No, I just happened to have the list of the Immigration Advisory Board members, and I thought we would call people out by name and they could introduce. Yep. Or
that's what
sounds like. You had a game plan as well.
No, that's what I would recommend, is just to go down the list, which means somebody's going to have to go first.
Would you like people to give a brief description of their interest, background, or any initial comments they choose to make?
Yeah, if you want a prompt, I mean, just to sort of share with the rest of us what brought you here, why you were compelled to, you know, to put your name in the hat and to sign up for this advisory board. And perhaps some of what you're hoping to maybe get out of this experience as well and being a part of this board. But you're not tied to that, you know, those scripted questions, but just to give us a little bit of background about who you are and why you're here, and how you're connected to our community. So.
Well, I'm happy, Janice, if you're on, I'm happy to, until I have to jump off, go down and just list and see who's here, and they can say whatever they choose to say. Or sure. Or I'll just get out of the way, Hannah, whatever you want.
Go for it.
Okay, well, the first member is John Zuniga Escobar. Is he with us?
I don't see John on the list.
Okay. How about Ada Rumford?
I see Ada.
Yes, I'm here. Hi, guys. it's nice to meet everyone. So let's see, I'm from Bellingham originally. And I went to UW for college and lived in Seattle a long time, moved to New York, got to see a lot of kind of different lives. My family originally, my dad's Australian and my mom's from Germany. So I grew up as a first generation American in Bellingham when it was a much smaller place, much more homogenous place. It's really grown since then. But I've always had an interest in just different cultures and different parts of the world, and definitely have seen firsthand, how it can be tricky for people from other places to kind of adjust here. And so, yeah, I'm really excited to, contribute and do a little bit of research and a little bit of thinking and speaking. That's about it.
Thank you, Ada. Rick Qualls?
So I've been in Bellingham since 1971 and moved up here to go to college. My wife and I raised most of our family here, but spent some time in the Philippines. We were there for about 4 years. So Philippines is a broad spectrum of Polynesian, Chinese, all kinds of different cultures. So that was back in the 70s. So when we came back here, just seeing those voices in our community and then the opportunity just to learn a little more how to welcome, how to engage, how to help, how to be part of the process for people to integrate into the community or just tackle some of the hurdles that are there. So I'm looking forward to learning as well as trying to be a voice of been around a while in Bellingham. So I'm looking forward to getting to know all of you in a better way.
Great. Thank you, Rick. Liz Darrell.
Hey, everybody. I'm Liz Darrow. I am the legislative advocate at Community to Community Development. My role in this Immigration Advisory Board is to bring perspectives from our promotoras at Community to Community Development who work with farm workers and immigrants in Whatcom and Skagit counties. And so hoping to do my best to represent the concerns that they have brought forward and will continue to bring forward.
Thank you, Liz. Bridget Reeves.
Yes, hello. My name is Bridget Reeves, and my interest was on this board was prompted for two reasons. One is a faith conviction on my part that we need to be about creating spaces of radical hospitality for people in our community, all of our neighbors. In our community. And then I also, in my work at the mission, I serve as the associate executive director at the Lighthouse Mission. And through my work there over the last 11 years, there's been a lot of interactions that I've had with people that have been involved in some way in an immigration process. And that has really sparked a lot of conversation and interest and desire to be a part of making sure that we as a community are a safe and welcoming space for people and that people have the supports that they need to be successful in what they're doing. And I'm really looking forward to learning a lot from the others on this board and walking alongside. So thank you.
Thank you, Bridget. Katie Winkleman.
Hi, y'all. My name's Katie. I actually moved here from Colorado about 4 years ago to attend school. And while I was at Western, I helped organize one of the largest joint lobbying efforts between the Ethnic Student Center and the Environment and Sustainability Programs, which is where I started to learn a lot more about kind of the immigration policy that exists in Washington and particularly in Bellingham, which sparked an interest in that and kind of how that permeates outwards and, how it affects every aspect of not only our lives, but immigrant lives. And I think it's really important that we hold this space. I also, during my time there, spent about 3 years, and I'm continuing to, doing academic research in particularly white allyship and how white allies can show up in their community effectively and amplify voices that have been marginalized. And so yeah, I'm really just here to, again, dig into the research, help in whatever way I can, and offer whatever perspectives I can from my own experiences and the experiences I know that exist from others.
Thank you, Katie. Forgive my effort here at the pronunciation. Danielle Seidlicky?
Hi, it's Danielle Shudletsky.
How do you pronounce it?
Shudletsky.
I don't know if others are experiencing this, but your volume is not very loud for the technical crew.
Can you hear me better now?
There.
Okay, great.
There you go.
Shudletsky. I noticed on my name on the participants, it's missing the I at the end. hi everybody, I'm Danielle. And I'm Canadian by birth, so I am an immigrant. And I am a social worker here in Bellingham. And on purpose, at least half of my caseload are first generation immigrants. So that's kind of where my interest is.
Good, thank you, Danielle. Reverend Seth Thomas.
Seth, I'm sorry, this is Liz Darrow. I hate to interrupt, but were we going to have translation provided by the city? I know that we have a couple folks on the call whose English is not their first language.
Well, you know, there's a provision in the ordinance that says that it will be provided if needed. And I don't know if we set it up for the first meeting because it wasn't established whether anyone would need it. And if that's the case, of course, apologies.
Hi, I'm sorry. I'm Marisol. We joined the meeting late. I'm here with John Zuniga. I'm his partner. And so I'm translating for him right now.
Okay. Well, if this is a need, as you know, the ordinance itself is very clear that if translation services are needed, that it will be provided at the city's expense. And so you can all have that conversation about future meetings when you get into your business.
And that was intended to be part of the agenda as well.
Yeah, good. Thanks for bringing that up, Liz. Go ahead, Seth Thomas.
Hi, I'm Seth Thomas, and I've been in Bellingham since coming to Western in 2001. Love this city, and I love the conversation that we're engaging in together as a community of how we be a place, like Bridget said, about radical welcome and hospitality. I currently serve as pastor of St. James Presbyterian Church in Fairhaven, and we have a strong connection with community to community and the work that they're doing on advocacy in our wider county. So I'm excited to be a part of this community and this group and learn and contribute and help to make our city a more welcoming place. So thank you for the invitation.
Thank you, Seth. Maria Isabel Cortez Zamora.
Hello, everybody. So I'm Maria Cortez. I moved to the States 20 years ago, have been living in Bellingham for the last 12 years. And I am here to learn about charity and build spaces that are more compassionate and humane.
Thank you, Maria. Ramon Barba Torres.
Hey, buenas tardes. Aquí está una persona que me va a ayudar a interpretar. Se llama Edgar.
I'm Edgar. I'll be helping Ramon with the interpretation.
Pues mi nombre es Ramon Torres. Yo soy presidente en un sindicato que se llama Familias Unidas por la Justicia.
So my name is Ramon Torres. I'm the president of a farmer union called Familias Unidas por la Justicia.
Que representamos trabajadores del campo.
And we represent farm workers.
Y pues también somos inmigrantes, entonces estamos muy interesados.
And we're also immigrants, so we're interested in this.
¿Cómo vamos a poder llevar la voz de nuestros campesinos más para arriba para estar más seguros o más protegidos?
And we want to make sure that the voice of farm workers is lifted up so we're further protected.
Entonces aquí vamos a estar en las juntas a ver qué podemos hacer.
So we'll be on this. I'm participating in this meeting to see what we can do.
Y gracias por darnos la oportunidad de estar aquí.
And thank you for the opportunity to be here.
Gracias, Ramon. Monica Cassidy. Is Monica with us?
There's a chance that Monica is in the attendees. So if you'd like to keep going, I will see if there's a person there who is the person on the board.
Monica's the last one. So I've got to go to my next meeting.
We need to go back to John because he's on the call now. John Zeninga Escobar. And Marisol was going to help with that introduction.
Hola, buenas tardes. Mi nombre es John Zuniga.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is John Zuniga.
Y fui parte de una redada de en agosto del 2018.
And I was part of the raid that happened in August of 2018.
Estuve 5 meses detenido en el centro de detención de Tacoma.
I was detained for 5 months in the detention in Tacoma.
Finalmente pude salir y obtener mi permiso de trabajo.
I was able to get released, win my case, and I have my work permit.
Pude abrir una compañía de construcción.
And now I was able to open a small construction company.
Y pues estoy aquí porque no quiero que otras personas pasen lo mismo.
And I'm here because I don't want anyone else to go through that.
Por lo que pasé yo.
And I don't want anyone to go through what I went through.
Así que muchas gracias por permitirme ser parte de todo esto.
And thank you for allowing me to participate in this.
Thank you. Gracias. Hannah, I'm going to hand it over to you now.
And I think that's all your board members tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. So Monica Cassidy is the only one on the list who was not able to join us, right? Okay. And so I want to, I guess before we go forward, wanting to address Liz's concern, and so definitely wanting to make sure, I know that in Janice's correspondence that was sent out asking if anybody needed interpretation during the meeting, and obviously it's one of those things that it being sent out in English obviously doesn't help if you don't speak English or if you're not literate in English as far as reading and writing. So I will accept responsibility for that. We will definitely do better, but wanting to make sure that there are no other language preferences. So Spanish at future meetings, making sure that we have a Spanish interpreter available, and then we will figure out the logistics of how best to make that work if we're not in person and if we're here on Zoom at the next meeting. Any other language requests?
And Hannah, I would like to add that we would be happy to reimburse the interpreters that are on the meeting tonight. Okay. So for the board members who brought their own, we'd be happy to reimburse those costs.
So Edgar and Marisol, if you want to send invoices to my attention, we would like to compensate you for your time helping to facilitate this meeting. And then I just want to make sure for Ramon E. and John, que español es lo mejor y no hay otro idioma o algo que es mejor que español.
Solo español.
Okay, está bien. Y Ramón también, yo creo. Okay.
Sí, también.
Okay, gracias. And so going forward tonight after introductions, I don't know if everybody had seen a copy of the agenda. Tonight is somewhat housekeeping. So I don't know if there are any formal changes or requests with respect to the agenda this evening. Does anybody have any? Was yeah, everybody?
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm just wondering who wrote the agenda and if input was sought and I just missed it.
No, that agenda I believe was written by staff at the city. So I reviewed the agenda before it went out, but it was prepared beforehand. And I think it's just the logistics of what the city requires as far as formation of an advisory board and sort of the moving parts that have to be in place to give that group its sort of I don't want to say credibility, but what has to be in place in order for it to function under the city umbrella. But obviously it's not, not what I expect future agendas to look like.
Right. Anticipate going forward, you all will develop your agenda setting process and seek all board members' feedback about the agenda.
Mm-hmm. Any changes or requests for things to be addressed this evening, Liz, in addition or apart from?
Well, I guess we can deal with this when we get to it, but I don't understand why we're voting on an ordinance that wasn't brought by the board in our first meeting. Additionally, electing a chair and vice chair, I guess that has to happen according to the city's requirements, but it just doesn't seem like we know each other all or our qualifications just yet. Mm-hmm. But in particular, the ordinance, the welcoming the refugee, and again, if it's Robert's Rules of Order for us to deal with it when we get there, I'd be curious to know who wrote it and why it's on the agenda for the first meeting.
I think you can make that decision along the way, whether you're simply reviewing it or whether you're taking action on it.
And so just to be clear, that is something that was brought was brought to City Council attention. So there's a group requesting that there be a resolution welcoming refugees. And my response to that request was to say, we're forming this immigration advisory board, and I would like that request to be made to the advisory board and not to council. I would want the sort of blessing of the board to bring that to council. I don't think council should review it and then give it to the advisory board. So really it's just on the agenda to say, this has been brought forward. You can do with it as you wish. Is this something that you want to even consider or table for future discussions? Or do you want the people who brought that forward to, come make a presentation? But really it's just something that was tabled until this board could be formed. And it's not something that has to be taken up at all or in any timely fashion, but it's something that the council wouldn't consider until this group had an opportunity to provide input.
Sounds good, thanks.
And the ordinance itself that's being reviewed is an ordinance that is the ordinance that was passed by council to create this group or this body. And so as part of that, I believe it's the structure under, and I'm new enough to council that I haven't been a part of any advisory boards or commissions. But my understanding is just for the group to function, having somebody identified to run those meetings and to form agendas and things of that sort. So I think it's completely appropriate what Liz has said, that this is a new group. We don't necessarily know each other. And I don't know that I'm an appropriate choice, but by default, since I'm the city council member who brought this forward, and in my role as an immigration attorney, I'm here by default to sort of hold that space until somebody's chosen. So I'm happy to sort of be of service to the group as long as that's appropriate. But so it wouldn't, again, I don't think there's a form, and City Attorney Rufato's on the call tonight. I don't know if there's some logistical issue where that has to be done in a timely fashion, but.
This is Peter Rufato, City Attorney. You know, I'm looking at the ordinance and it says that the body of rules, ethics, and customs that govern board meetings and other operations of the board will be adopted by the membership. So it's really open to the board as to how you want to go about your business, how you want to elect officers or have officers or designate different types of officers. So it's really up to the body.
And you have staff support regardless of those choices. So if you'd like Hannah to serve in a role, Monet and the other staff here can support her until your group is ready to make those decisions, but we're not sending you off with no help.
Right, and this is Katie speaking, amongst those adoptions, is that including Robert's Rules of Order, or are we allowed to not do that as well? Just thinking logistically in terms of bureaucratic structure and how that can be inherently hindering.
Yeah, I this is Peter again. You don't have to abide by Robert's Rules of Order. But I would recommend that you maybe have some framework for how you want to go about creating your agenda and going about your business.
Absolutely. And kind of as we think about dismantling perhaps oppressive systems, just even thinking down to the ways that we communicate and organize the way we talk about things in terms of frameworks and access, that's just something that we can keep top of mind. If folks are really comfortable with Robert's rules, absolutely, that's an option that's on the table. But just also to be critical about systems that have also been created to oppress or suppress voices.
Yes, agreed, Katie. And it's not a perfect ordinance, but the ordinance was written as broadly as possible to try and accommodate whatever structure would be most comfortable for this group going forward. And so that's something that doesn't have to be finalized tonight, but I think that would be something valuable for a discussion by members as far as what's going to be most comfortable, just as far as an organizational structure, right? As far as how meetings are handled to make sure that everybody, you know, has an opportunity to speak and everybody has a turn, and how items, you know, make it onto the agenda, or for instance, this resolution that was brought forward by some outside group, you know, how does the group decide whether or not to give something sort of that time and space within the advisory board. So do any members of the group have any thoughts or proposals or recommendations? It doesn't have to be something formal, but could even just be a vote about like Robert's Rules of Order. Is that something that people even know what that is, or have, you know, comfort or familiarity with, or are there other, or is there a feeling that it's definitely, we don't want to have to use Robert's Rules of Order within this body? And then is it something that there would be votes of, you know, wanting this to be sort of a unanimous vote when things are done, or just a simple majority, or, you know, sort of how decisions would be made? Because if there were things coming, you know, from this body to go to the mayor or the council, or, you know, some group, whether that's a request or a question or whatever that might be, just trying to figure out how the group accommodates all voices, but is also able to speak sort of with a unified voice as well in bringing things forward. Any thoughts or feedback on what, I guess, what would be most comfortable? Because like we've said, this is sort of an open space where it can be created to look however people want it to look. And that's something as well that you can say, wow, this is all really new and big, and can we have some time to think about that and bring ideas back to the group? That's certainly, you know, an option as well, to not feel pressure that this has to be decided. But does that make sense as far as just really it's just trying to figure out a general structure, sort of just rules when you go to a meeting or a workshop where you say, okay, we're going to put together these sort of rules of just general respect and how we're going to conduct meetings or conversations here in this space.
I don't know what Robert's rules are. Can you go over that?
They're kind of bureaucratic, in my opinion. They're pretty, you know, like, I second to, or like, I move to vote on this thing, and then somebody has to second you, and then you move to a vote, and then based on kind of your committee structure, at least, again, this is in my experience, having run a bunch of committees, then it's typically either two-thirds majority or a simple majority, depending on what you norm around in the beginning, which has its pros and cons in terms of how you want to make decisions. But I've felt and noticed that in the committees that I've been a part of, it's a little bit limiting in terms of the learning curve with vernacular, when we could just say, okay, like, I want to vote on this thing, and then at least one other person has to agree with you, and they can say, me too. But in terms of then tracking those norms, if you norm around using the nomenclature of, oh, first, second, you know, blah, blah, like kind of those types of words, then it just becomes kind of technical and jargony, in my opinion. Again, one gal's opinion, not, you know, all encompassing of everyone's experience. It is also a useful tool for folks who just, I don't know, maybe haven't seen a committee structure and maybe just, you know, want to go through that process too, I think. But I do think that there are ways that we can norm around what might feel most energizing for everyone and most accessible to everyone in terms of both language and norms, in terms of how we want to structure when and how we move things to a vote, what kind of discussions happen before votes, and then additionally, what our preferences look like between a simple majority, a two-thirds, or you know, meeting a quorum of certain board members present.
Sure. And the benefit to doing that is just so everyone's voice gets heard, I guess. I mean, why do people bother?
That's a great question. I've tried.
It does seem like you lose like an amount of like just being able to sort of speak your mind and brainstorm, and you know, if you're making sure that you're doing things proper.
I agree with that. that's where I lean to. But I understand also that's not everyone's comfort zone in terms of structure. But Robert's rules also, I mean, typically, if you go the very strict route, there's also a speaker's list. So whatever you want to vote on, you have a list of people who volunteer to speak prior to the meeting and say, I would like to spend 5 minutes to kind of say my piece, and that's it. But again, I think to an extent, it's helpful. But to the other extent, it does take away from being able to discuss and engage in really tough and complex ideas.
Could I? Okay, thank you. So just as we were talking, I don't have experience outside of Robert's Rules of Order, like doing, not that I have a ton of experience within Robert's Rules of Order to begin with, but I just did a quick Google search on alternatives to Robert's Rules of Order, and it does look like there are some out there, and some of them are like titled simplified or something else. So maybe we hold off on deciding until the next time we meet, and we can bring some ideas to the table, or maybe even ahead of time we can brainstorm a few of them and then decide which one best fits kind of our group and our mission, our vision of creating spaces that everyone can access really easily, and that doesn't create more barriers for people. And I don't, just because for myself at least, I don't know these other systems, and I don't really know about creating a whole new system that's just ours. But maybe there's something out there already that we could just adapt to.
We do have a member on our board who organizes people professionally. I think that in terms of reinventing the wheel, Ramon already knows a lot about how people can organize and get things done. So maybe we should look to the people who have experience with organizing people.
Yep. Absolutely. Because I was gonna say that's, I mean, something else is just rules as far as like speaking from first person and making sure that I'm going to mess up the verbiage now about, standing up and stepping back and, making sure that you're sort of mindful of certain things. But yes, absolutely. Ramon, ¿tiene algo que quiere decir en conexión con este proceso y que nosotros podemos hacer?
Claro. Yo creo que mientras sea algo que un proceso que se entienda claro y que entendamos, estamos bien con pues seguir para adelante.
Mm-hmm. I think just as long as the process is something that's clear and that we all understand to move forward, then we agree with it.
Mm-hmm. And so it could be something very simple. It's basically trying to figure out a way that if just to say hypothetically, there was something that the group wanted to do and there was disagreement within the group about whether or not to do it. If there's a sense about how we would feel most, comfortable moving forward with something, feeling like everybody's on board and supportive, or that there's, a majority, or that we have discussion in advance. And I don't know how formal, I don't know if City Attorney Peter Raffato has any feedback as far as how formal or informal. Is this a process that has to be written out and included somewhere with the sort of records of the advisory board?
I don't know that it has to be. I think it's a good idea so that everyone's working off the same page. And just to reflect on a couple of the points raised, first of all, theoretically city council operates under Robert's rules, but we barely do that. Robert's rules, I think, is intended for large bodies, probably 20 or more or something like that. Robert's rules is designed, I think this is an important thing, to protect the minority voice. You wouldn't know that looking at how thick the book of rules is, but that's the intent of Robert, one of the main intents of Robert's rules. But just in listening to the discussion, I would encourage that you identify a simplified form in whatever feels comfortable, put it down in some fashion that everyone can look at and follow, and that at the end when you do make a decision, it reflects somehow the decision of the body, not only the decision of what the rules are, but when you do make a recommendation in the future, that there's some confidence that yes, all voices, and including minority voices, have been heard. And when I say minority, I mean not in the majority of the vote, and that there's some confidence in that recommendation as a recommendation of the body.
Yeah, because one of the things I think about with Robert's rules, like within our council meetings, is trying to make sure that everyone gets a chance to speak before somebody is speaking again. So little things, and at least a check-in. It doesn't mean you have to speak, but that everybody is given that chance to speak. So I think as far as the structure, looking for guidance from members of the committee would be at our next meeting, to have members of the committee bring, or members of this advisory board, bring suggestions forward, either suggestions that you have on your own or from talking to community members, so either experience that you have firsthand or from other groups that you're involved with, or other things that you've looked into, or it could be something completely new. But does anyone have questions, I guess, in I mean, really, there's no formal framework with what that would have to look like, right, with what's brought back. But I think just giving all members of the advisory board time to reflect on that and really think about, I mean, the hope is that, you know, this body will be doing some hard work. And so as a part of that, wanting to make sure that we get off on solid ground and that, again, that we're going to feel good about the process that we go through as work comes through this committee. So just, I think, giving that some thought before the next meeting. And I don't know, before sort of tabling that, if anybody has any questions or concerns that you want to sort of air about that before we table it.
Well, I have a question just as far as, you know, do we want to bring up everything at the meetings, or say I did some research? I mean, is everything going to be brought up at the meetings, or what, could I like email somebody? I don't know. Email the group, you know? My thought is like the biggest hindrance is how to conduct these via Zoom to make sure that everybody's heard. And that's more, you know, that's a different beast. That's just making sure everybody, we're not passing the shell, you know? How do we make sure everybody's heard when we're not actually seeing each other? I'm sure there's a lot out there about suggestions on good ways to do that.
Yeah, and Nate, I mean, that's a great point, that the struggles that not only this group but other groups will face in the time of Zoom are even bigger than just sort of the logistics of a meeting, but then navigating that through sort of a remote electronic format is not conducive. And I mean, for the number of, yeah, clients that I have who, you know, either don't have internet access or aren't, you know, comfortable navigating that as well, this is not a framework that's necessarily comfortable for everybody, for lots of reasons. So I'm exhausted with it, and I'm ready to be done with it. So, okay. So I think that's helpful as well, that in a group, how, I think that's what's most important to me, but I want to hear from other people, is making sure that everyone's voices are being heard. Yeah, Seth?
My experience with Roberts has been that it's helpful to have a moderator or a voice of leadership around the whole committee who's able to help moderate and call out those voices. So if we were to use Roberts, we would want someone who's able to kind of navigate the simplicity of the system in order to make sure that those voices are represented, all of us. And I think that then goes into some of our later agenda items around who will kind of help chair this committee.
Yeah. Good point. Other questions or comments? Because the other logistical questions for first meeting were sort of more straightforward about meeting schedule. You know, when we meet, and so sort of how often we're meeting. Looking back at the, so part of it, because they're public meetings, right, wanting to make sure that the meetings are open to the public and that agendas and minutes are kept and maintained as part of the city record and retained so that those can be looked back upon. Looking for the meeting schedule.
Are you looking for the agenda or this or a schedule?
Well, I was looking in the ordinance to see if it dictated how many meetings. I was thinking that they were monthly meetings.
I believe they're monthly. And what was scheduled originally was the fourth Tuesday of the month. And so when we rescheduled it, that was why we picked the fourth Tuesday of June. And I think we're from 6 to 8 tonight. That's certainly a day and a time that fits into the array of boards and commissions that the city has, but it has to work for all of you. So we just picked this date as something that we knew was available, but up for discussion for the rest of you.
Okay. So is there, do people know their schedules and whether the fourth Tuesday, so tentatively the fourth Tuesday of every month from 6 to 8 p.m. I guess I would ask, is there anyone in the group for whom that does not work? No, we're all good.
I sit on another board that meets on the fourth Tuesday. Just happened that tonight was a redundant meeting. I could exit out. So, but if I'm the only one, I can make adjustment.
And in full transparency, I used to work at a market strategy firm, but they recently had to make cuts. So I'm back to bartending. And so shift work happens when it happens. Tuesdays work fine, but pretty much Mondays and Tuesdays are great if we do have to change to accommodate Rick.
Monday and Tuesday are good. Mm-hmm. Since you said Monday and Tuesday are good, Rick Qualls mentioned that Tuesday does not work. Does Monday work equally for other board members or not?
Monday's good for me.
It is. So the
Hannah, I'm concerned you might run into city council meetings over the long haul. In the short run, you're probably okay. Mm-hmm. On Mondays.
Mm-hmm. Tuesdays are preferred for me, but I could probably make Monday work.
Okay.
I noticed we lost Ramon from the call. I know that he's organizing Yakima, so I just send a text because I think that we should consider work schedules of everyone.
Yeah.
So maybe that's something that we can come back to unless we need to decide that right now.
Yeah, so I could initiate, or with help Janice, I mean, we could go back to sort of square one in that respect now that we know who the members of the advisory board will be, and that and picking, going through sort of a doodle type poll to go through everyone's schedules and make sure, because I know it can be hard as numbers increase to find times that work, but I feel like it's very important that everybody's present. So yes, we will. So then the next meeting will be to be determined as far as that date, but. And so that would be another, I guess, question. People's schedules change. And I don't know if proxy is the right term, but thinking about how people feel in a group like this, it's a small group. If somebody cannot be in attendance, having the ability to send someone in their place whom they have chosen to sort of represent them at this meeting, or not, I guess, or other options. Are there other ideas? But with a small group like this, if one person's missing, I think that absence is really felt. But at the same time, with life and schedules, it's going to happen, right? Where people aren't going to be able to be here. So I guess that could be something tabled for the next meeting for people to think about. But I guess whether or not, you know, how the group would feel about having then a new face or an unfamiliar face coming in to, you know, represent somebody in their absence. So that's something else I guess I would add to the list. And if there are other things that people think about, to please add those and, you know, raise your hand or send a message, but to that list can continue to grow. So I think that's the other thing too. I mean, this is something that we'll be developing over time. And so to not feel like we're locked into, oh my gosh, at the next meeting, we're going to make these decisions and then we're going to be sort of bound by them. they are going to provide some guidance, but at the same time, as we move forward, if that's not feeling good to people and it's not working or voices are being left out, then obviously that's going to change, right? That's the problem with systemic errors, is that we just keep plowing forward even though it's not working. So that's something we're not going to do, at least in this space. So to make sure that people feel comfortable as well speaking up as we go forward, that, you know, actually this isn't working, to feel okay with saying that, whether that's in front of the group or individually reaching out. But I would ask that of members. So as far as the other reason why I'm not tech savvy enough to have multiple things open at once and to go back and forth. So on the agenda next, it was looking at sort of those logistical pieces. And so one of those is review of the ordinance itself. And so this ordinance, the title of the ordinance, I don't know if everybody has looked at it. It's an ordinance of the City of Bellingham establishing an immigration advisory board to review and evaluate policies regarding compliance with engrossed second substitute Senate Bill 5497, and to make specific recommendations regarding policies related to immigration matters and providing for data collection. And so one of the pieces, sort of fundamental pieces of this ordinance, was asking for the city to be reporting out on a monthly basis about their contact with immigration agencies that are present in our community, right? So Immigration and Customs Enforcement, as well as Border Patrol in particular, because the community wants transparency and to know, you know, what's happening with those contacts and why are those contacts being made. And as well, being in a small community and close to the border, there are times when there is assistance provided, and sometimes it's completely unrelated to immigration, but still wanting, the request has been very broad with respect to that data and report out as far as the contact. And so wanting to know what the contact was and what sort of what happened with that, to make sure that, so that's the data piece. And then the other piece that's talking about the state bill, that was legislation coming forward, really talking about the value of immigrants in our community and all of the contributions that are made as far as the workforce and community members, and really valuing those contributions and wanting to make sure that people are, you know, safe in the community. And so this advisory board is different from, say, there was, you know, like a climate action task force, where they're given a very strict sort of outline, is like, this is your charge and this is what you need to accomplish and go forth and do this work. From the city and the council, I received lots of questions about, like, well, what is this board going to do? And my response has been, I don't know, because it's, that work is to be determined by the board. And so really there's not, there aren't very specific, you know, guidelines that tie you to doing one thing or another, like this resolution that was brought forward. I mean, that was just sort of as out of respect for this group and the people who've come forward to do this work, wanting to make sure that things related to immigration or immigrants or refugees, that that's going to come before this body for review first before it goes to council. But otherwise, if there were particular, you know, questions or interests, I think about this board is really being able to take the shape of its members and what either you through your work in connection with immigrant community or your individual, you know, role and leadership, things that are happening in your own life or in lives of your family members or friends or people that you work with that are either of concern or things that need to be amplified and celebrated, and looking towards, you know, the city for there to be a space and a, you know, and a place for these contributions and accomplishments to be, you know, sort of acknowledged and appreciated and celebrated. So it could really, I know it can be frustrating. Sometimes maybe it's easier to have specific direction, and but I just want to be clear that in forming this board, it was not sort of saying, we have this particular issue, and this board's going to be formed in order to try and, you know, help solve or address this particular issue. So it is fairly broad. And so going through that appointment process and selecting members to serve on this board was really to make sure that there were going to be representatives from different, you know, sectors of the community, and to be able to provide different voices and perspectives from, you know, from the community. So to that end, there's not anything specific sort of on your list to do. That will be developed by you. And I guess I would ask City Attorney Raffato just to make sure, is there anything from the ordinance itself that the group needs to be mindful of?
Nothing comes to mind. The one thing I think it was Ada that asked about email exchanges. We have to just have to think about the Open Public Meetings Act. So the ordinance suggests that meetings will be open to the public. I think this board probably, strictly speaking, may not be the type of body that's subject to that act. But one of the things, like with city council, our city council doesn't interact in, at least a majority of them do not interact outside of an open public meeting by email or otherwise. So I'm not saying that can't happen, but this is something we'll have to be mindful of and maybe come up with some guidance on that. That's the only thing that's come up in my mind so far.
Yeah, that makes sense. I was just trying to think of ways to sort of expedite things if we had material we wanted to present that people could like look over it beforehand and then talk, but I don't mean to do it in a way that excludes people.
I mean, I think, you know, even city council, I mean, I encourage city council members, you need to be able to bounce ideas off of other members, you know, just to kind of test out ideas, get the thought processes going. So it's not like you're unable to do that. And so I can, you know, we can address that as it comes along. But the main thing is, we've had boards in the past that you get into these long email strings, and by the time you're done, you've had the whole board has pretty much made a decision outside of the meeting. And so that's the extreme version. And there's a lot of space in between that we can just navigate.
On a related note, you'll want to be thinking between now and when you have your conversation and your decisions about your decision-making process, how or if you want to handle public comment. It is you are holding a public meeting. You have people watching, your members of the public watching and listening in on your meeting. Some boards choose not to hold a public comment period. Some boards choose to have a set time limit public comment period. So that'll be probably a conversation for next time, but I wanted to raise it and make sure I got it on your radars. I also, a little higher up on the agenda, several of you had emailed and asked about the lengths of your terms, especially for the people who only have 1 year terms. We wanted to assure you that because the delay in starting this board, we're going to consider tonight's meeting the beginning of your term. So if you have a 1 year term, your term expires 1 year from today. And if you have a 2 year term, it expires 2 years from today.
Thank you so much, Janice. That was one of the pieces I meant to come back to. So an important, note, because obviously, year can go by quickly with in light of COVID. So But with respect to that public comment period, like whether there's public comment period or whether you have outside speakers that you want to come in and provide presentations, you know, to the group, or whether it's a request of staff or council or, you know, somebody else in the city or of community groups to come forward, but how that information's gathered. One of Ada's questions made me think too about the timing of distribution of sort of agendas and packets. So if you're going to get information in preparation for a meeting, you know, how that's distributed and when you receive that, and then making sure that we're able to provide that in multiple languages as needed. So we will make sure that those items are always provided in English and Spanish. And then if there are additional languages needed, to please let us know. And as we're making these, you know, public, and I imagine that on the city website, you know, being able to have access to agendas and past meeting information, you know, going forward, whether we're able to make those available in, you know, multiple languages would be ideal. So that would be great. And let me go back. Okay. So, and I apologize. I was thinking I was just going to listen tonight and didn't be standing in as leader. So I apologize that,
No apologies, Hannah. You, you're doing a great job, and you've spared me. So
no, not prepared, but, wanting to hear, I know that I believe there is going to be a report out from staff on the reports. Is that
yes?
True?
Yes, okay. Brian Heinrich and Brian Heinrich is leading that piece of it.
Yeah, okay. Let me know when you want to do that. I'll share a screen. What I thought we would do. Well, I'll explain when I get there. Or I have a couple of questions for the board.
Okay. And so I don't know if that presentation and feedback about sort of the data collection and something that we would see monthly, right, from city staff, if that's something we want to do now, or if there are other, I definitely don't want to talk the whole time. We are halfway through our 2-hour block. Time goes by quickly. But I want to hear at least preliminarily from members of the advisory board, if there are areas of interest or concern or thoughts of things that just broadly, we're not writing it down and forming an agenda now, but things that you would like to see this group take up, whether that's information you'd like to receive or presentations you'd like to give. I mean, this is also an open meeting that provides an opportunity also for the broader community to learn from this group as well. So if there's information that you would like to share or presentations that you would like to make, or concerns that you'd like to raise. And there is we're a small enough group that I think everyone fits on my screen. So if you just want to hold up your hand and unmute yourself if you want to speak. Or you can probably just chime in. Liz?
I think that the purpose of the formation of this board originally was to look at the ways that all the city offices interact with ICE and what the negative impacts on families from that are. So I think we should just really narrow our focus, particularly looking at farm worker communities, the undocumented immigrants who have been impacted in real time in our communities, and just look at the data and find out if those policies that are currently being enacted by the city are in compliance with Keep Washington Working. And not only that, but what are the instances where individuals are being profiled? We're hearing from Promotoras that when you go to get a COVID test, for example, on the HRSA form, it asks for your social security number or your driver's license. And that's not a requirement. You can leave that off, but the reimbursement to health centers for those tests is only given if that information is provided. And so we need to look at whether or not that's in compliance with Keep Washington Families Working, and how that impacts individuals who don't have that information or don't feel good about giving that information, whether or not their health is being taken care of. And also, I think, you know, we are sort of sitting, unfortunately, on a time bomb as far as the Whatcom County and Skagit County farm workers are concerned, looking at what has happened in Yakima with COVID. And I don't think we need to entirely focus on COVID, but looking at how the farm workers in our community are not being treated with the respect that they deserve, and their health and safety is not being protected. So I think if we could just stay really focused on what the policies are, what the law enforcement is doing, why we have the chief of police as part of this group. I mean, I think initially this was the effort of the community was to form a participatory democracy process outside of what we see happening in city government and law enforcement. And so I think we need to ask some really serious questions about how we interact and how law enforcement interacts with the communities who may not feel comfortable speaking up in this space with the chief of police present.
So a couple of things in response. One, I want to be clear that the Keep Washington Working, that piece of legislation actually isn't binding, my understanding is not binding on municipalities. And so it's sort of commitment of the local city of Bellingham to say, this is not a, it's not enforceable by the state, but we are gonna go, we're gonna hold ourselves to that standard. So I just want to make sure that people know that that was sort of, you know, raising the bar and saying, even though we're not obligated sort of under the legislation as far as enforcement goes, we're gonna make sure that we're complying with those policies. So that, I just wanted to make sure people knew. And then in addition, I think talking out to impacts and how, maybe how we can help with those partnerships as well, because sometimes concerns that people raise about, say, the jail or the health department and things that fall outside of city government, right, or other handled at the county level, like the jail and the health department, is not just passing the buck and saying, oh, that doesn't fall under our umbrella, and so we can't do anything about that, but figuring out how, as a city, you know, we can make sure to sort of still, you know, advocate and take those steps. So I appreciate that. And then I don't know, Chief Dahl, if you want to respond to these concerns. I know that Chief Dahl is not formally a member of this committee, but it is a public meeting.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that, Hannah, and thank you for acknowledging the fact that our municipality is going above and beyond what is requested by the House or Senate. That we've chosen that we want to adhere to that. Look, I've told our city council, and I've told my police department and my community that my main role as a police chief is to ensure that our police services are accountable or accessible to everybody. And so I'm here tonight, and I would like to come to your meetings to listen on how I can remove those barriers that you identify to those police services. That's my full intent on being here. And of course, I can certainly answer any questions that come up in the data in terms of contacts that our law enforcement agency has had with the federal government to give that explanation to you. So I'm here to listen. I'm here to learn and to find ways to remove barriers to service to all of our communities. And that is my intention here.
I wonder if it might be appropriate to participate as the rest of the public is rather than as a panelist.
I can certainly do that if you like. I don't know if that will allow me to speak up if need be, but if you're more comfortable with that, this is your council or your board, so I can certainly do what you'd like.
We asked David to participate in this manner for the first meeting in case there needed to be, as he said, some explanation on the reporting data.
So my understanding, Janice, are you on as host, or is that Monet?
There are a couple of us on as host, and we can certainly have Chief Dahl participate as a panelist or an attendee. If he needs to speak, it's a little bit more cumbersome, but it's, again, it is entirely up to your board.
So I would say that since one, I don't want to ask for a vote. For me, even if one member of the group has voiced concern, I think that that is, it's a public meeting. So I don't feel like we're in a position to say that the chief of police is unable to, you know, listen to the meetings or to be in attendance since it's a public meeting. But I do appreciate, and I think that's a lot of, obviously when this board was initially formed, we weren't where we are now. And so I think the concerns that are being raised throughout the community just about concern with police and really accepting people where they are. And so I think about when Deputy Chief Flo Simon spoke at the council meeting the other night, hearing about what brought her as a woman of color to the police as a profession, you know, was bad experiences that she had. And even if those didn't happen in this community, those come with you. And so when some people want to say, oh, well, things have happened in other places, but it's not happening here in Bellingham, even if it's happening other places or experiences that have happened to you here or elsewhere, to me, it doesn't really matter where that's happened. If that creates, you know, fear or insecurity, then certainly, like I said at the beginning, I want this to be a safe space. So with that said, we would then request that Chief Dahl, if he's going to be in attendance, attend as an attendee in the future, and that another staff member, obviously those reports have to come forward from city staff. And so with respect to those reports, Liz, since you mentioned it, but I'm happy to hear from other members, are you asking that that data then be presented by someone outside of the police department, even though it may be their data that's being collected?
Yeah, I think since we started this process of writing the ordinance, it was always requested that the police not be involved in the process because it's a process for the people.
Okay.
So just to be clear, should we make Chief Dahl an attendee for tonight, or are you just talking future meetings?
I think that he should be an attendee.
Okay, Matt, will you take care of that for us?
I also just, sorry.
No, go Bridget.
Okay. I also just want to mention that I think that it would be really, like, from my, like, limited perspective on this, I think that it could be really helpful, like, if data is brought forward from the police department to have some form of explanation from them on it. Like, it could be fine for it to be handed to somebody else to then be given to us, but I also think that it could be helpful if somebody from the police department, like Chief Dahl or somebody else, even gave a, if data was presented, brief presentation, and then afterwards, even if he's not a panelist then and just an attendee.
I totally acknowledge that, and I had a similar thought process starting out, but I also want to go ahead and acknowledge the current events that we're facing and the fact that across police departments across the entire U.S. and Bellingham may not be, we don't know, but it may not be subject to it, but across many police departments there has been misrepresentation of data from people who have a stake in what the data says. And so I think if we truly want to have unbiased data to make decision, and we want to like allow that data to dictate what we do as a group, I think taking away the people who have a stake in what that data says and what it presents to the decisions that we make is really important in terms of maintaining objectivity, in terms of giving it off to whether it be a third party, I'm not totally sure what that would look like, but giving it to somebody who, you know, doesn't have a stake in the police department. I mean, let's just go ahead and name and acknowledge the situation that our country is in, let alone Bellingham. And I mean that, and let's also just acknowledge like the really horrendous racist policy that Bellingham has held for the past 300 years and only recently has been abolished. And so I think we're all still trying to dismantle these systems of oppression And I think one of the best ways that we can do that is, again, putting in somebody who's, you know, more or less objective to the situation and isn't necessarily a stakeholder in the exact thing. I totally understand that thought process. That's exactly where I began to come at it with as well. So I can definitely hear you. And I think just acknowledging the current situation we're in and understanding the distrust between police and minority groups is really important. And also, you know, fostering that trust. And so I do want to echo again what Liz, you said. I think that was a really important point to be brought up, and I really appreciate you doing that.
Hannah, I just wanted to let you that Ramon has his hand up.
También, y una de las razones que pensé que íbamos a estar aquí era porque no iba a estar ninguna parte como de policía.
One of the reasons that I wanted to participate or that we're here is that we didn't think there was going to be the agencies like the police.
Y pues como hemos visto en el pasado de cómo estaban trabajando con migración y yo siendo un inmigrante y representando inmigrantes, pues se me hace un poco raro.
So for me, it was a little bit weird to be in the position as an immigrant myself and somebody that represents immigrants.
Entonces, yo creo que estamos de acuerdo con que escuche que es la parte de pública, pero no como parte de comité.
I agree that he could speak on, he can participate as a public, but not part of the committee.
Y una de las razones que también nos comprometimos a estar en este comité es porque la comunidad que estamos representando ahí en esa área nos pidió seguridad.
And one of the other reasons that we wanted to participate is because our community was asking that they wanted to feel safe.
Entonces, creo que si hay alguien de estos departamentos, no podemos distribuir tanta información como la que tenemos con nuestra gente.
And if there's people in these departments here, I don't know if we can give the information out and distribute the information out that the people want us to give out.
Eso es lo que pensamos por nuestra parte.
That's what we think on our behalf.
Thank you for speaking up, Ramon, because that's critical, is making sure that people feel comfortable bringing forward information that we need as a community in order to do better. And I always say that what is most important is that everybody feels safe in their own homes and on the streets and that and in the community. And so, yes, thank you. Yes, Seth?
What I hear in this is an opportunity for us as a group to work with the strengths that we have already on this advisory board. I see a lot of great people who are going to be able to take the data that we are receiving and be able to work with it and ask the right questions. And I think there are opportunities to call in, like you said earlier, Hannah, call in folks who can give us a little more clarity around what's going on in these issues with the police or issues with larger entities. I think what we can do is be a group who listens well and calls in for folks who maybe can help us clarify. But I look around this group and I think we can handle a lot of the discernment of what is going on ourselves. And I respect a lot of that opportunity.
Thank you. Yeah, and I think that maybe, you know, going forward, if the group decides that public comment is something that you want to have, I mean, that's another way we talk about other people bringing data forward, but ideally this group would be, you know, a place where data collection could happen, where people are able to come forward and to share their experiences or concerns here in the community. So thank you for that. I also, on a logistical end, then city staff, obviously, so Monet Kerr is our legislative assistant in the council office and serves as the clerk of court while we're in our committee meetings during the day. And Janice Keller is head of communications for the city. So sort of logistical arm, city webinars, I'm assuming is Matt, and sort of keeping us up and running via Zoom. With respect to, so it sounds like Brian Heinrich from the mayor's office and HR will be responsible for providing those reports. I understand with IT it might be difficult, but how does the committee feel about staff who are presenting those reports to be on as panelists and or attendees, like attending the whole meeting or only coming on sort of for that 15 minutes or I don't know how long it would be? Is there any feedback on that? And then also the city attorney, I don't know how people feel about Peter, whether logistically under the city code, you have to be present?
No, I don't have to be present. Boards and commissions throughout the city do their work without any attorney being present.
So feedback from the group about a city attorney and city staff being on these calls, I guess, as attendees or as members of the advisory board.
I guess I like the idea of people coming in for a period of time and presenting and having space to kind of go over with them and then having them step out after they're done.
Yep, okay. And so Matt and Janice, I'll default to you. I don't know on the magic wand end about how this works. Is that something that we can make happen, I presume?
Yes. Between now and your next meeting, we can absolutely figure that out for the next one. I'm hesitant to have Matt and I step out right now. I'm concerned that because we're the meeting hosts, you would lose your meeting. You would lose your Zoom. So you can choose one or the other of us, I suppose, but I don't think we both can leave.
Yeah. No, and I just wanted, feedback from members of the board as far as
and that makes perfect sense, and I think we'll be talking in the future also about what staff you need to be able to do the work that you choose to do. So we're really just here tonight to make sure that you get launched successfully and that you have what you need. This is not at all intended to be a staff heavy effort. It's intended to be a board that chooses its work and then does it and has some staff support.
And can I just say one thing? I would recommend that we have some staff person somewhere that is ultimately accountable as an employee of the city present for the entire meeting, whether that's for minutes, for open public meetings. And I don't think it has to be any particular person from any particular department, as long as because they're ultimately going to be accountable to the mayor as to process or anything of that nature. I think that's important for the city as a municipal entity.
That's what I was going to ask. As far as minutes, is that Monet?
Yes. So Monet is the council office appointed staff to this board, and she is planning to take minutes, and the Zoom session is also being recorded to aid her in minute taking. But like Peter said, that doesn't replace needing to have a staff person tuned in to make sure things are getting captured.
Okay. And I want to thank Monet for wearing that extra hat for the city. We appreciate her in the council office. We couldn't do our work without her. And I feel like taking minutes while you're participating in meeting is cumbersome, but So having somebody to do that for the group, I feel like is an asset, but obviously wanting the group to be able to review those minutes and make sure things are portrayed accurately and everybody feels comfortable with that, unless there was somebody within the group who wanted to, you know, take minutes, felt passionate about taking minutes, then we could certainly accommodate that. But so my understanding is that otherwise Monet would be on calls as a city representative and responsible for minutes, and that I would be there as part of the council for as long as, I think that technically the ordinance said it would be the chair of the justice committee, which now is the public safety, health and justice committee. It's quite a mouthful, which Dan Hamill is the chair of that committee. But I could approach him, either he could serve in this capacity or I could approach him about taking on that role. So that would be up to the group as well. And then in future meetings, I understand that there may have been, obviously with the chief of police and other unknown faces on the call, going forward, wanting to make sure at future meetings that we all use our cameras. Simply, it's already isolating to be on Zoom calls, but I feel like it's important that we're all able to see each other and that we know who's there. And just, I don't know, I feel like there's more accountability when you are speaking to someone and you see their face and their expression. So on that thought though, I wanna make sure that all board members have the capacity as far as the things, tools that they need, right? Whether that be computer or iPhone or internet and everything else, because we don't know how long we will be in this Zoom land and world. So as far as bandwidth and internet capacity, if there are needs from the group, to please reach out, because the city can make sure that you have what you need to participate in these meetings. So asking that people reach out if you need anything, because we don't want this to be a burden. We want to make sure that this is as easily accessible as possible under the circumstances. But any other questions before we have that report out? Yeah, Bridget.
I think you mentioned a little ways back about public comment, and I don't know if we had discussed that at all as a group. I don't think we got there, but I do think it would be really great if we could have a section, the first 15 minutes or however long, you know, it ends up going for public comment. I think that, yeah, that could be really good. That's just my opinion though, but I wanted to throw it out there just to start the discussion.
Yeah, and so I think in the next meeting, talking about the logistics of how the meetings will operate, that would be a piece for consideration by the group. Liz, sorry, I'm new to hosting and moderating the hand, so.
No big deal. I was just going to say that when we wrote the ordinance, the public process was really important. I think we should carve out time for public comment, especially since the makeup of this board is largely white, largely people who are part of the power structure. So I think we want to make room for other folks. And the other thing I was going to say is that I would strongly recommend that we don't replace you with Dan Hamill, because we've been working with you on this for almost 2 years now. And I don't want to lose that traction that we've gained and get someone else up to speed, whether or not he's qualified to be the chair of that committee. So I hope that you will stay in this process, and particularly because you do work in immigration, I think that makes a lot of sense. I'm not sure how other people feel about that, but I would hate to start over with the council at this point.
Okay. I would just say if there are any objections to that, you know, to please reach out, and otherwise I will approach Dan about that. Peter, do we run into anything with the ordinance if Dan and I agree? No? Okay. Okay. So we're at about 7:30. I'm trying to be mindful of time. So in case there are questions, I want to make sure that we have a chance to digest, and I haven't seen it, so I don't know what Brian's going to present, but so that we have time to digest what the city is bringing forward tonight as far as that data request. So Brian, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you. So I'm going to share my screen, and you will see what we've compiled since now the document itself will say 2020, but it is actually since November of 19. That was my fault. I mislabeled it. So there are, I want to say, about 400 contacts, if memory serves, on, let's see if I can get my, and so the way we've organized this, and I guess this is the question, one of the questions I have for the board, is you'll see over in the column, starting with A, that's the department that the interaction occurred, the date of that occurrence, the agency that made that contact, in this case, the federal agency, agency contact name. You will see overwhelmingly CBP dispatch. Periodically, you will see some identified folks. If there's an email to use, it is provided. If there's a phone to use, that has been, if it's provided, we use it. City staff name. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that. You may or may not be aware that we provide, City of Bellingham provides countywide dispatch for both law enforcement and fire. And so these names then are the names of the city staff that took the incoming call. And then over here on the last column, I believe it's the last column, are the notes that you will see that the reason Border Patrol dispatch called our law enforcement dispatch was about a transfer. So on and so forth. You will see this throughout the document there. Typically one to two statements or sentences about what the purpose of the dispatch. And so as a nod to that countywide law enforcement dispatching function that the city serves, you will periodically see things about conduct in Blaine, and other in Sumas and places like that. Linden is noted there as well. So one question I have for the board is, does this format work for you? Another is, I'm happy to email it to you all following this call. I believe we also have the ability to post it on the Immigration Advisory webpage.
Brian, and it will become part of the minutes as well. So,
thank you.
It will be posted.
And then just as a nod to the conversation we were just having as a group, I believe this is something that we could put together on a monthly basis. So basically starting June 24th up until your next meeting, or maybe a week prior to that meeting, be happy to email that to you. I think it's fairly self-explanatory. So to the question of having city staff attend, I certainly don't have to do this every month. You're happy to review it. We could send it, I think, prior to that that meeting. And if there was a discussion or an interest in having more information about that information, we could find the appropriate staff person. So I'm going to go ahead and stop, unless folks want to keep looking at it.
I would like to keep looking at it. I'm sorry to be such a squeaky wheel, but I see in an 8-day period only one day in which Customs and Border Patrol was not called. And what's missing for me on this report is what were the results of those calls? Is that, like, I'm just picking one of them. They don't seem like Customs and Border Patrol issues. And so I'm just wondering if we can see, is that a later part of the report, what the results were?
Well, back up one second.
I can speak up to that a little bit, Brian.
I was just going to say it's border dispatch to the city. It's not the city to border dispatch, but go ahead, Peter.
Well, I mean, I haven't looked at all these, but I know that a lot of the calls, there is no ultimate result because I think the 911 call center is just an intermediary between different law enforcement agencies. You won't necessarily see the ultimate outcome because
if we don't know what happened to the people who were apprehended, how do we track what actually is happening if we can't see what happened?
Well, I think ultimately this would be best for Chief Dahl to address or someone from BPD, but I can't see this that well, honestly, there was a telephone or dispatch about a suspicious pair of vehicles in Blaine. Ultimately, I'm assuming that BPD Bellingham is not going to have anything to do with that response. So that's why we won't know the outcome of that call.
Yeah, I think maybe to that point, if there were within the report a specific activity related to Bellingham PD and contact from Border Patrol, we could certainly provide that other information. But I think Peter is absolutely right. We're not going to know the outcome. Again, you'll see the areas of Blaine or Linden or what have you. It's really dispatched out to their law enforcement.
So just to clarify, if something were to happen in Bellingham, we would be able to see the result of that call?
Yes, I believe that is the case. And if it's not captured here, I'd have to look through again. There's 400 entries. So we'd have to look through and identify that exact interaction, but we would be able to track down what the end result was.
Right. It might even be helpful. And I know this might be kind of difficult. I understand and appreciate data entry as I did it for a really long time. But in terms of having like sorting features on this spreadsheet would be really helpful, as well as, again, being able to quickly identify what outcomes were so we can understand a little bit better about what that process looks like as an advisory board, I think would be great. So if there's like a sort feature that you can make, whether it's like a drop-down menu, if you know, ones like calls that were responded to that we can understand the outcome from, that would be really helpful to be able to quickly identify.
I'll see what we can do.
And so, Brian, to clarify, in this document is times through, you're saying the 911 dispatch through Whatcom?
Yeah, times we were, Whatcom and our what we call it, prospect, that's a fire. So law enforcement and fire dispatch were contacted by Border Patrol.
Mm-hmm. And so does this data collection include requests that were made of city, right, mm-hmm. by a federal agency? And then does it also include whether or not the city made a request to a federal agency?
You know, that's a good question. I'd kind of like David to chime in if he's able. I don't know the answer to that. I should add that it's not just 911. It is also if a federal agency contacted our public works department, say you will see in this report, there are times that federal agencies do contact our public works department. So that is captured in here as well.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause what I would propose is, because it is tiny, right? And you're saying that there's lots to look at, is if that's shared with the board, is for board members to have a chance to look through that and compile a list of questions, whether they're prospective questions about if there's more information that can be provided in the future, or if it's questions just about understanding the information that's there. And then we can follow up with city staff to see who's able to provide those answers or responses.
Sure, if it's okay, and to Janice's comment earlier, I'd be happy to send it to Monet for attachment to the minutes that will be sent to the board.
Okay, that would be great.
Brian, just one more quick question. Is this a 1 month period of time or 2 weeks?
No, it's most recent. So this was through, it would have been this is through Saturday. It goes back to pretty much the creation of the ordinance. Get down here. So first entry was November 4th, which I believe was right after the adoption of the ordinance. And to my point just a second ago, you'll see that it was Public Works that was contacted by Border Patrol. So it actually ends up being about an 8 month time period. And what I imagine doing, I guess a question for the board is, as we compile it monthly, I think we could just do a date range. So it just depends on when folks want it, in anticipation of your next meeting. If you'd like it with the agenda packet, we just need to know those dates. It's a fairly easy export to do. So it's pretty easy to do. It just really depends on what you'd like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so because the ordinance requested this data collection, like Brian said, that started with the initiation of the board, but then the board hasn't been able to meet. So the cities continue to compile that data. So we will see from initiation to present But then going forward, right, that'll be a much smaller chunk to digest each time. And so I would presume that those reports coming forward would just be, yeah, from, like you said, sort of those dates will be dependent upon, so it might not be an exact month, but it'll be running from the last data point to the next meeting or whenever that's shared with the board. Yeah, Bridget.
Just a quick question. I couldn't tell on the sheet that was on there. I really appreciated that though. Thank you, Brian and those that put it together. I couldn't tell whether or not individuals' names were used in the notes column, but I just want to be sensitive to that if individual names were used or if it is there. If it's going to be like available to anyone and everyone,
It's a good question. In the notes section, I don't know that there will be a great deal of specificity with respect to names. In my review of this over the last couple of days, I did not notice that. The other thing I would add to that, however, is that this is a public record. It was created with that in mind, I suppose. So you will see city staff name, agency contact name. I don't believe that members of the public are identified in the notes.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I know that's the joy of being now on council, is knowing that everything, every email, everything that I ever send is, it's all public record. So, it's hard, obviously, small print and dense document, I think, to provide, you know, any meaningful feedback or questions at this point, but I do want to thank staff for following through on that request and compiling that information over the months and bringing that forward. So look forward to having a chance to review that, and would, as far as those reports being provided in Spanish, I will leave that up to staff to figure out how that will be.
I think it's doable. This first one is a big batch of data. I think your monthly reports will be less voluminous, and we'll figure that out. Okay.
So Hannah, you mentioned something. I should, you know, any email or document that you all create as part of this board will be a public document.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just to be mindful of that. I would say, for better or worse, it's, you know, there are some good things to come from things being on a public record. And I think that was important as well for this ordinance, to have it be a formal group that's under the city, where it's going to be a public meeting, where those, you know, minutes will be compiled and will be shared with the public. And so also on there is a page, a web page, the Immigration Advisory Board, you know, has a page on the City of Bellingham website. And so if there is, you know, if there are requests or suggestions as far as the information that's there or use of that, you know, site to help facilitate the work of this group, we'll go forward with that. But otherwise, so this is public, you're saying, but email correspondence, I mean, obviously these are private email addresses, right, that people would be using?
You're responding to my comment.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, that's one of the issues presented with that idea of having email exchanges on board business. Those are public documents. If we could request, we have to produce them. We should probably think about that. And I don't know exactly what other boards and commissions do, but if it's a document created as part of city business, it becomes a public record. So that would include email exchanges that are done as part of the business of this board.
Okay. Okay. But just to be mindful of that. As we come up on about 10 minutes left for this first meeting, I want to say again, this meeting obviously is a lot clunkier and more disjointed than hopefully future meetings will be. First priority, I feel like going forward, is figuring out when we're going to be able to meet, finding a common time when everyone's available, and making sure everybody has what they need to fully participate. And then after that will be formation of an agenda, right, for the next meeting. So I guess I would facilitate just a call out from members of the board as far as trying to create an agenda for the next time, hearing feedback about public comment, you know, and things of that sort that may be of interest, but also typically what's on the agenda as well as sort of an old new business or a time for board members as well to speak candidly about things that may not be on the agenda, but sort of a catch-all time and space in the meeting for people to speak. So I just want to make sure with the last 10 minutes, since I've spoken a lot, is if there are things that people want to share before this meeting ends.
Did we determine, and I apologize if I missed it, but did we determine who is creating the agenda for next meeting?
No, it's going to be a group effort. So what I proposed is, I'm going to default just to put together some sort of loose structure and then put a call out to all of you as board members for suggestions for things that could come forward. So I'll include sort of the pieces that if there's anything that needs to be addressed as far as the city or council end, but otherwise that would be open for discussion. So at the next meeting, it could be that it's, you know, more of a discussion among the board members to sort of get to know each other and talk more about experiences in Bellingham or, you know, life or others to try and decide how to move forward. But I think the issues that were raised by Liz with respect to, you know, COVID and the disproportionate impact and the concern that I definitely feel as an immigration attorney for farm workers in our community who are deemed essential workers and are working to make sure that our food chain stays, you know, quote unquote healthy and that food's on our table, but at their expense, as has been the case for right years and generations, is that farm workers has been treated as sort of expendable ends to a means or means to an end rather than really valuing their, yeah, human life and worth and contributions. And so I don't know where that fits right into the work, but something that can't be ignored. And so is that something we talk about? That's a present issue and something real that's happening in our community. And if you're watching the numbers from Yakima, it's staggering. So last night at the city council meeting, the director of the health department had mentioned that she thought it was like 378 or something per 100,000 positive cases right now in Yakima, but that's actually double that. It's like almost 700 per 100,000. I mean, it's really astronomical and rising. And there have been concerns, yeah, locally about guidance that's put out by like Whatcom Unified Command or the health department about how farm workers and their employers are supposed to keep their workers safe during COVID, you know, about spreading out your, you know, move your beds when you're sleeping, and obviously, you know, farm worker housing that can be very tight. Recommendations that just are insulting, frankly, because they don't take into consideration the human beings that are being impacted and how to genuinely keep people safe, and also the power structure about people, you know, feeling the need to work And obviously not wanting to say, yes, I don't feel good, because knowing that you won't be able to work and feed your family, and pressure from employers to want you to work. And so, I mean, there's so much that goes right into all of that. And we talk about systemic things that need change. It's trying to break all of those things down. So whether it's something like that, that's sort of tangible and happening now, or if it's something that's been, you know, happened to you personally or somebody else, or, you know, of concerns or policies that you want to see from the city. Obviously, we're doing a lot of work now with respect to use of force and things of that sort, specifically related to the police department. But I feel like there are issues, you know, much broader throughout the city and different departments and structures that also, you know, could stand to be looked at and discussed. So it's really just wanting the group to bring forward what whatever you're thinking or feeling to try and provide some direction.
Is it possible to spend the last 5 minutes of this meeting hearing from John and Ramon, since they have the only real perspective of the issues that we're talking about? If they want to.
I realize I didn't say audibly yes. I was nodding, but they might not see me. Johnny, Ramon, ¿tiene algo que quiere decir o?
Soy Ramon.
Es Ramón.
Pues lo único que queremos es, pues, como vamos a estar representando la comunidad, es pues que la comunidad se sienta en confianza y sepa que este comité va a estar representando la gente.
So we wanted to make sure, as representative people that represent people from the community, that the community also know about what's happening in this committee here,
y pues,
and that they feel comfortable sharing.
Y la mayoría del tiempo, pues, lo que tenemos que hacer es escuchar a la gente que ha sido afectada para poder seguir, ¿verdad?
We have to listen to the people that have been the most affected so we can figure out how to move forward.
Y pensamos que si este comité se compromete a eso, nosotros también.
And if the committee can commit to that, then we'll also commit to working with this.
Y muchas gracias otra vez por todo.
And thank you for everything again.
Gracias, Ramon.
Pues yo también estoy de acuerdo con lo que dice Ramón, pues ojalá que este comité pues pueda crear un espacio donde las otras personas pues se puedan sentir seguras.
So I'm in agreement with what Ramon is saying, that I hope that we can create a safe space in this advisory board.
¿Algo más, John?
No, es todo. Muchas gracias por...
No, that's it. Thank you.
Y entonces, yo quiero oír si hay algo más que nosotros podemos hacer para crear un grupo que es más seguro. Y entonces, si usted va a hablar con gente en la comunidad para decir que, bueno, hay un tiempo durante esta cita cuando el público puede venir para hablar sobre su experiencia o sobre qué está pasando en la comunidad. ¿Qué necesita oír o qué necesita tener en efecto para crear un lugar seguro donde gente tiene confianza que puede venir aquí para hablar sobre la verdad sin, sin preocupaciones sobre, you know, su vida o su cuerpo o cualquier cosa? I mean, ¿hay algo más que nosotros podemos hacer para tratar de crear este sentido?
Pues dejarles saber a la comunidad de que estamos para apoyarles, de que no estamos trabajando en conjunto pues con la policía y EIs.
So just letting the community know that we're a safe space and that we're not working with law enforcement and ICE so that they feel protected. That's it.
Ramon?
Es lo mismo que iba a decir. Yo creo que estamos de acuerdo en que primeramente para que la comunidad esté conforme y se pueda presentar a estos eventos o estas juntas, no necesita estar la policía ni agencias que trabajen relacionadas con migración o el policía.
So I also agree with what John said. If the community, for the community to participate, it would be easier to know that there was a, agencies like Border Patrol or ICE or the police monitoring everything that it comes out of them or that says is said on the meeting.
Gracias. Y entonces es una balanza porque es una audiencia una cita que es pública público, entonces pero también es un poco, privado en conexión con, las caras que puede ver aquí. Y entonces no sé si hay algo más, posiblemente no, pero si hay algo más formalmente que nosotros necesitamos hacer, aparte de nuestras palabras, para dar gente esa seguridad para hablar.
Pues yo pienso lo mismo que dijo Ramón, pues de que sean parte del público y pues no parte de este comité.
So I would agree with what Ramón said, is that they could be part of the public, but not part of this committee.
Está bien. Gracias. And just for the rest of the committee, in short, just asking John and Ramon, what can we, as a city and as a group, do, right, to make sure that people feel safe coming forward to participate. Those are the cliff notes of my bad Spanish. Okay. Entonces... So ahora es a las ocho. So now it's 8:00, and I want to be respectful of everybody's time and hope that next meeting you don't hear my voice nearly as much. But I am here to be of service and to help navigate whatever is to come. So again, I just want to thank everybody sincerely for stepping forward and offering your time to be a part of this process. Brian and Peter, thank you for your support and bringing that information forward. And in the future, I will correspond with Janice and Matt to figure out logistics for the future to make sure that we only see all of our beautiful faces. In the interim, if there are questions or concerns, feel free to reach out to me. And otherwise, there will be email correspondence coming forward just to try and identify future dates and to hopefully set so that we know for the year to come when our meetings will be held so we can put those on the calendar.
And we'll be working on translating and interpreting.
Okay. Anything further tonight? No? Okay. Thank you all very much. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to getting to know all of you better and working on the hard work ahead. So thank you very much for your time.
Thanks,
okay. I'll see you soon. Yep. Thanks.
Gracias.
Gracias.
Hasta pronto. Okay, muchas gracias.